This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, The Secret's Out. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. About 11 million undocumented immigrants live in the United States, and most of them don't have health insurance. That means when there is a serious illness, it's hard to get treatment. But it goes beyond that. Dan Gorenstein, healthcare reporter at Marketplace, brings us the story of one woman, a mom with young kids. She had to choose between getting care for a life-threatening illness and protecting her secret, and with it, her family.
I hope to extend my life as long as possible for the sake of my children.
This is a story about family.
I was told I only had 4 to 6 months to live.
This is a story about what happens when you have no good option.
I wanted to try anything. Maybe a miracle could happen.
This is Jay's story. A 41-year-old mother who emigrated from China 18 years ago. We're not identifying the family, and instead using an initial for Jay because she and her husband are in danger of deportation. The family lives in Queens. All three kids are U.S. citizens. Jay was diagnosed with terminal stomach cancer. Last fall, she had a choice. Should she try to enter a drug trial?
You look at these clinical trials, there are some patients who just forget to die.
Steve Lee, Jay's oncologist, works at Bellevue Hospital in Manhattan. He says it would get her access to a potent medicine that researchers want to test on her form of cancer.
This is what we hope for. She could be one of these long-term survivors.
But there was a problem. The only way Jay could get into the drug trial was if she got insurance, specifically Medicaid. To qualify, she'd have to do the last thing an undocumented immigrant would want to do, declare herself to the Department of Homeland Security. It meant stepping out of the shadows, providing her address and the names of everyone she lived with.
Before getting sick, legal status was clearly important, but as it is now, both legal immigration status and my ability to continue to live are intertwined, because I can only get good treatment if I obtain legal status.
To this point, Jay had gotten something known as emergency Medicaid. That's a way in for people who can't qualify for traditional Medicaid to get coverage for a serious illness. And Jay was fortunate. She lives in New York State with one of the most generous programs in the country. UCLA health policy professor Stephen Wall says each state defines emergency differently.
In some states, they say giving you dialysis is keeping you from dying. We're going to put you on emergency Medicaid. In other states, Georgia's one that comes to mind, they will not put you on emergency Medicaid until you are in diabetic shock.
The little research there is on care for very sick undocumented immigrants shows that the treatment is so uneven, sometimes it's different from county to county. What people receive is a product of luck. By the time Jay learned about the drug trial, she'd had chemotherapy. She had part of her stomach removed. After the cancer spread into her ovaries, those were taken out. But emergency Medicaid doesn't pay for drug trials. For that, she needed traditional Medicaid, and for that, she needed to appeal to the Trump administration. Jay had hit a wall. She needed to decide if getting that cancer medicine, that one thing that might extend her life, was important enough that she'd be willing to be deported or see her husband deported to maybe break up her family.
Are you more afraid to die than you are to be deported?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm afraid of die more than deport, yeah. Because my family need me. My children need me.
This is where attorney Domna Antoniadis comes in.
I am a senior staff attorney at the New York Legal Assistance Group.
Domna works just across the hall from Jay's doctor at Bellevue Hospital, and it's her job to help patients jump through the bureaucratic hoops to get health coverage. She says Jay had a compelling case.
She's been here for almost 20 years. She has 3 young U.S. citizen children. She's never been arrested, no criminal history. She's worked, and right now she has a very aggressive form of cancer.
Jay and her family face this dilemma as the threat of deportation has grown under President Trump. Federal figures show arrests of undocumented people living in the U.S. are up 40% over the previous 12-month period. This was a real risk.
She's saying, here I am, this is what's going on with me, but please don't remove me.
Jay went home to talk with her husband. He'd seen his wife do everything she could, change her diet, walk up hills for exercise, follow doctor's orders. Now it was the drug trial. He says the decision was clear.
Life is more important than anything else. You have to face the cancer. You have to face the pressures. You just have to do whatever it takes so that you can keep on living.
Jay submitted the application. Domna, Jay's attorney, advised the family to be cautious, like if federal agents show up, make sure they've got a warrant before you open the door. She gave Jay a guide outlining her rights in Mandarin. Over the fall, Jay's husband said the family felt vulnerable.
We watch the news. We see the things that Donald Trump says, and we see that he's been tough on immigration and has tried to make a lot of changes. So for sure, we're more worried.
A new fear settled over the family, the kind of balled-up, tight fear that knots your stomach. Life at home shifted. Their 13-year-old daughter did dinner dishes. Their 12-year-old son set the table and played fewer video games, trying to make his mom happy. Their kid sister, just 4 years old, asked why everything was different. Jay talked less. There was one other thing the kids could do, try to bolster Jay's application with Homeland Security.
Dear the most highly respected judge and court, I'm writing this because I love my mom.
This is a letter written by Jay's oldest. We had another teenager read it.
My mom is very important to me. I have no idea what I'd do without her. Even though my mom's afraid, she's not giving up. I remember once she said to me, I'm going to try to live as long as I can. I want to see your sister grow up and get married. Then I'll be content. I don't want to die before that.
It worked. While waiting to hear back from Homeland Security, Jay got word from New York's regular Medicaid program. She got insured. In December, Jay had her first drug trial treatment. Jay says she was trying to savor what she had.
Now I'm not nearly as strict with my kids. I sort of just let them be kids. Before, I'd give them extra homework on top of what was assigned at school. Now I just want them to be happy. Between my husband and me, we care a lot less about money. Before, we would only go out to dinner once a month. Now we treasure every moment we have.
Almost as soon as Jay was in the drug trial, she was out.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve. It's Dan Gorenstein.
Hey.
So, what's the update?
So she went to NYU and was found to have a rapid growth of her cancer.
By early January, Jay had started hospice. The care she gets at this point is to make her as comfortable as possible. Jay's lawyer says it's unlikely she'll live long enough to get deported. But this new heightened risk for her husband won't go away. And he'll be on his own to figure out what that means for him and their kids. I asked oncologist Steve Lee if he thought the trial was worth all the risks and stress.
I think it's easier to say that going on the drug trial was a waste of time in retrospect. But the alternative for a cancer like this is that she would invariably die. So I think that the opportunity to give her a shot at long-term survival was one worth putting a lot on the line for.
Lee says what the trial really gave Jay and the whole family was hope. Living in the U.S., that's something few undocumented immigrants as sick as Jay ever get.
That was Dan Gorenstein. He reports on healthcare for Marketplace.